chapter 7, verse 26. This will be a challenging pasuk. It says as follows: Umotze ani mar mimavet et aisha asherhi mitzudim v'charamim liba asurim yadeha tov lifnei Elokim imaleit mimena v'chote yilaked ba. Translation is as follows: I have discovered that more bitter than death is the woman. But it goes on, whose heart snares and nets, whose arms are chains. He who is pleasing to God escapes her, but the sinner is caught by her. The obvious approach of someone who would be anti-Torah would say that King Solomon does. He shows you that women are worthless. Not only are they worthless, much worse. They're more bitter than death. If he would have said worthless, I would have been more neutral. Women are worthless. Okay, but no, we're not worthless. They're terrible. They're worse than death. So let's try and understand what he's talking about, okay? So, the possibilities are as follows. First of all, it could be Shlomo HaMelech is speaking about his own life experience. His life experience was such, we know, that while it says in the Torah, Lo Yarbelo Susim V'Lo Yarbelo Nashim, that a king in Israel was not supposed to be absorbed in either wealth by having too many horses, too many chariots, too many palaces, and so on, nor is he supposed to be overwhelmed with desire and lust, and therefore he is not to marry many wives. Yet King Solomon was one who said, I'll get wealth and I won't be distracted. I'll have a lot of wives and it won't bother me. So his own personal experience was one where he went against what the Torah said because he felt he was Chacham Mikol Adam, he was wiser than all others, and he could be unaffected by his absorption into these type of distractions. This was a mistake, and it could be he's stating here his own experience, which was that he chose to get involved with many women, even if they were, in a legal sense, his wives. But it was a mistake. He shouldn't have done it. It was a mistake. You must recall, as the Zohar Yitzchak points out, this is Hachacha Mikol Adam. This is the wisest of all human beings.
And yet
beings.
He made a mistake.
Okay, but yet he's the one who's telling you. It's not a nobody. It's not some guy on the street. He said, you know, let me tell you about my story. I made some mistakes. This is Hachacha Mikol Adam. So he's warning you that even though I do have a great deal of control over my emotions and my lusts and my desires, and I am very intellectual in nature and know something that other people do not know, still even I fell to this trap and this mistake. Certainly then all the more so, even a human being who again may have one wife and may think he's appropriate, but yet be careful, because one can fall when it comes to these relationships.
He also makes other statements about women. My commentary notes that what about in Proverbs, he said the exact opposite about women. So in that sense, is he perhaps contradicting himself, or is he saying that there are multiple types of women and the wrong kind is so powerful in her wrong ways that it's more better than that?
Good. So, yes.
It doesn't say women.
Right.
Right. Talking about one kind of.
Well, it's interesting that it's pointed out by one of the commentaries I saw in the Otzim Mefarshei Kohelet, Rav Galico, who I don't know, but he states that it says Ha Isha Behe Hayidua. It doesn't say I find bitter women. It says I find bitter this woman, this type of woman, this type of woman. The only question I have is that if you look in Pirkei Avot, Perek Aleph, Mishneh Hey, so there's a famous statement. It says, Al Tarbe Sicha Im. It says, do not have too much conversation with Ha'isha. One second. With Ha'isha. Now, who would you say Ha'isha is talking about? You might have said, you're talking about other women with one's wife. Of course you have conversations.
No, he's going to go on to say even with one's
That's correct.
Divorce.
So it says, it's even talking about one's wife. So you see, Ha'isha doesn't have to mean like, oh, we're talking about other women who maybe have improper approaches. Ha'isha can even mean in this case, one's wife.
But what if that Ha'isha is the same Ha'isha as Shlomo HaMelech talks about in Kohelet? So that means if your wife is one of Ha'isha,
one of those type of women,
then even more so with her because she is even more influential over you.
Good.
But again, because of the hey preposition, it leads me to believe it's not a general statement about women overall.
As Kate pointed out, though, as her commentary said, she said, but he says in other places, he says, for example, we'll get to this in a moment, he says, Matzah Isha V'Tzarat Devin, Matzah Tov. If you have found a woman, you have found goodness. But here you said, it's so bitter.
If you found a woman?
Just Isha, woman. Okay. If you found a woman, you have found goodness. Now, moreover, you all know there's even something more powerful in the writings of Shlomo HaMelech. That shows, you all know this, that shows how positive he is toward women. Eshet Chayil, Friday night, was written by Shlomo HaMelech. All this praise for women. So how could it be, you can't say King Solomon, oh, look at me, he's just a woman hater. Just hates women. What do you mean? He wrote Eshet Chayil, which is the greatest praise we have in all the Bible. Song of Songs is just an allegory, but it was written with the understanding that a man and a woman could have this type of wonderful relationship, and therefore it's a beautiful allegory to describe the relationship between God and the Jewish people. So you see that therefore he does recognize and understand this type of love that can be had between a man and a woman. It seems to, again, befuddle this notion that there's such antagonism between a man and a woman. Watch out, that it's terrible. And Rashi says in his comment, listen to this Rashi. Rashi says that she's more bitter than death, this woman, whoever this woman is. She kasha mi'asarad varim hakashim shenivru'u ba'olam. She is more bitter. When it says more bitter than death, that means more bitter than the 10 most hard and terrible things that are in the world. Like the Gemara in Baba Batra says in Daf Yud, it says, the rock is hard, but iron cleaves to it. Iron is hard, but fire softens it. Fire is hard, but water extinguishes it. Water is strong, but clouds bear it. Clouds are strong, but the wind scatters them. Wind is strong, but the body bears it. The body is strong, but fright crushes it. Fright is strong, but wine banishes it. Wine is strong, but sleep works it off. Death is stronger than them all. And now he says, and worse than death is the woman. After all that, if you really want to, you know, and many quotes also in this source, that it says in Eicha Rabbah, in Eicha, in a Midrash there, it says there are actually 14 things. I mean, death's even worse than that. And women are worse than that, or the woman is worse than that. When Ezra says, and others, he's talking about women that are forbidden to you. A woman who, he's speaking from a man's perspective, obviously, a woman who is an Eshadish, a woman who you can't have relations with and she's trying to seduce you, or a woman who is, again, off limits to you and she's trying to get you involved. So if you become obsessed with this and desirous, this is more bitter, it's going to ruin you. How many people have been ruined, and politicians and others, right, by seemingly having a wonderful life and everything's good for them, and they get ensnared by this? Watch out, it's going to ruin you. It's going to be more terrible than death. Your whole name will be destroyed. Sefer Shirat David points out, by the way, that as we mentioned, King Solomon also said, Matzah Isha, Matzah Tov, you found a woman, you have found goodness, you have found the ideal of good. Mara says in Masechet Brachot, Tafchet, that in Yerushalayim or in Eretz Yisrael, they used to have a statement they would say to each other after a man would get married. Like two men would meet each other, so one of them got married. So they would say, you know, you got married? Yeah. What is it? Motzi or matzah? And you like to have a face off? Motzi matzah? Okay. Motzi or is it matzah? Well, now you have to know Torah, know what that means. What's it mean? Because King Solomon said one verse. He said, Motzi ani mar mi'aisha, I find a woman more bitter than death. And on the other, and he said, Matzah Isha Matzah Tov. So that you say to him, no, what is it? Motzi or Matzah? How's life going? Motzi or Matzah? Is she like this or is she like this? Is it terrible, your life now that you're married? Or is it the ideal of goodness? You know, so that's what they would say jokingly, if you will. That's what they say. Now he goes on to point out the following beautiful thing. He says, Inyan Shel Zvugim, he says, this talks about in general the idea of couples being created and coming together. He says, a husband and wife come together. He says, Talui Legamre Biyado Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is totally dependent upon God who makes matches. Kamosh Amru Chazal, like the rabbis say, in the beginning of Masechet Sota, Arba'im Yom Kodem Yitzirat Avlad, 40 days before the birth of a child, Bat Kol Yotzat, a voice goes out and says, Bat Ploni Leploni, this boy should marry this girl, alright? These two should be set up together. So he wants to suggest, this author of Rav Goldberg, that those who truly believe that the shidduch, that their husband or wife, that that's a match made in heaven by God itself, okay, they have a successful marriage. But who doesn't believe that? Or he thinks, I chose my wife, and my wife chose me. It has nothing to do at all with God wanting us to be together. He says, this will be more bitter than death. Now, at first I thought, what does that mean? Don't we sometimes choose? You have to go through a shadchan? What if you run into that person and you say, you know, we chose each other? So he explains what he means to say is, that I think, on a deeper level, if you just think, no, you know, I chose her, she chose me, that was a mistake. So sometimes you don't even work on it, you don't go for counseling, you don't try, you don't give it a second thought. It's not working, done, finished, over. That's it. Alright? If, however, you have a notion that, you know, this is really Mina Shemayim, I believe that God chose me to be with this person, so then already you might work harder on it. You say, if this is Mina Shemayim, I have to understand why this is happening. I have to understand why she's saying this. I have to look more deeply into the situation. If it's Mina Shemayim, it's meant to be, then I have to work harder on my marriage. Now, that doesn't mean, of course, that all marriages, the Torah does provide for divorce, and then sometimes they don't go right. As I always say under the chuppah, I've mentioned this before to you perhaps, that while marriages may be made in heaven, they're not maintained in heaven. That certainly, even though it may be set up that way, this is supposed to work, these two, but it doesn't mean it's going to work if you don't do anything, and if you're terrible to each other, it's not going to work. It means if everything goes, you know, nicely, you guys should, this should be a good shidduch. But if you don't work on it, it's not going to happen. So I think this may be his notion here, though, that it can be so bitter if you just think this is all terrible and I'm not learning anything from this, or I'm not getting anything out of it. But if you are willing to see that this is part of God's plan, somehow there are more things you can see that relate to your life and help influence in a positive way that perhaps you would not have seen otherwise.
That's also in a plan, so to speak. You know, I mean, just can't say that it wasn't meant to be. It was meant to be, not forever, but for some reason you needed that part of your life to move on to a better part. Okay, good. Everything is from Hashem. Okay.
He then adds as follows, a very beautiful thought. He says, what is the goal of people being married? What is the goal? He says, the goal is that a man and a woman should become one body, like one body. It says in the Chumash, right? They should be like one flesh. It should be like one body. What does he mean? Just like all the limbs of the body work together. When you walk, your arms move, your feet move, everything moves together, right? In order to properly you know, achieve what you're going to achieve. So too, a man and a woman, when they are married, they should work together. They should, you know, be in sync with each other. I mean, that makes sense to all of us. They should be in sync in order to achieve what their goals are. And by the way, he points out something else very beautifully from the verse itself. The verse said, Motze Ani, I find, right, I find the woman to be more bitter, right, than death. I find this. So what's it mean, I find this? So on the first explanation that he gave, that he said that that it's from God, right? It's Shidduch is from God. But if you're thinking, no, I find, it's because I found a woman, it's because I did it, you know, then you'll find it more bitter than death. But if you understand that God is involved, then you won't find it more bitter than death. Mm-hmm. That's one thing he says. And here on the second thing he says as well, he says, why is this more bitter than death? Because I find the woman. It sounds like it's an I-you thing. It's supposed to be you're together now as one body, as he just said. You're supposed to be together. You're still separate. I find this and you're not working together. That's why you have such bitterness. And there's a famous story, which I've told before under the chuppah, you may remember it, some of you, that of Aryeh Levin, who was the Tzaddik of Yerushalayim, as he was known. Beautiful stories about him, incredible stories. We had his grandson here some years ago as a scholar in residence. So Aryeh Levin says that there's a story where he once went to the doctor, and they went to the doctor with his wife, and the doctor comes in, he's with his wife, and the doctor says, so what seems to be the matter? And he says, well, doctor, my wife's toe is hurting us. Not hurting her, her toe is hurting. Hurting us. We are one flesh. If her toe hurts, I'm hurting. I'm feeling the pain. We are one flesh. We have this notion in halacha, by the way, of ishto kegufo, that a man and woman are considered to be one to the degree that, let's say, when they light a Chanukiah, there's some views that hold, Soloveitchik holds otherwise, but some views hold they should just light one Chanukiah, even if they have kids that each light their own, which is a custom, that they should light one Chanukiah for themselves because they are one. They are one. They are not supposed to light two Chanukiah, some views hold. Ishto kegufo, a man and a woman are considered to be one entity. One entity. And furthermore, on that thought, it's interesting that I once saw in a Kabbalistic work the following idea. Some of you I've shared this with before, that, okay, a woman is not obligated to keep positive time-bound commandments, right? We know that. Okay, is that right? Shouldn't a woman have to keep those mitzvot? Shouldn't she get rewarded for those mitzvot? So this Kabbalistic work said an amazing thing. It said she does get rewarded for those mitzvot. When the husband puts on tefillin, she gets credit for, when he wears a tallis, she gets credit for having worn a tallis. The obligation is upon him, but the fulfillment, the reward goes to her as well, because they're one entity. So therefore, if he does it, so she also gets rewarded for it. And it's interesting, you'll say, well, what about someone who's not married or someone who never got married? Where's her reward? Where does she get the reward for that? So then it says, the Mefarshim say, the Kabbalists say, even so, the one that he or she is supposed to get married to, already before they're married, if he's putting on tefillin, he's 16 years old, he's putting on tefillin, the one he's supposed to get married to, they may never get married. It may not work out somehow. They never connected. But even so, she's still getting the reward for her the one who she's supposed to be set up with. Is that amazing? Yes. I said this once in shul, at the time there were several women who I was bringing close to Judaism who were not at all involved in Torah. Now they cover their hair and everything, you know, all the way. So these two women came up to me after I said this, and they said, wow, that is so enlightening. We are so going to tell our non-Orthodox friends who always say to us, oh, so, you know, in our areas we wear tefillin, we wear tallis, you know, we do everything. You guys don't do all that, you know. We don't do it because our husbands do it, and we get reward for our husbands doing it. We get rewarded for that. We're one entity. Let me give you, however, this comment from the Chidah. Also, the Chatzim Sofer makes the same point. Now, listen to this. I don't know if we're so easily out of this. All right? It says this. If you look at the word Ish, and you look at the word Isha, now there's a famous drasha that's made about these two words. Anyone know the drasha?
Fire.
Right. It says, Ish v'isha shtina b'nehem. A man and a woman, God's presence is between them. Is that the case? Because it says, Ish and Isha together, right? You have the Ish has a yud, right? That the woman's lacking. And the Isha has a hey at the end that the man is lacking. So between them, you have the yud and the hey, which is God's name, spelled in short, ka. Okay, so a man and a woman, you bring them together, and the Shechina now is between them. Some say, by the way, that a man typically does not put the talis over his head until he's married. The general tradition is because once you're married, it's a place for the Shechina to dwell, and when you have the talis over your head, it's a place showing that the Shechina dwells there, and so on. So, if you live a life where the Shekhinah is not between you, like you don't live a life of Torah or ethics and values, then you don't have the Yud and the Hay, you just have Esh, mm-hmm. Aleph Shin, fire between you. You just have fire. All right? Huh? No, you don't have the Yud and the Hay, God's name. You're not living life's name with the Yud and the Hay, so then you just have the Esh, and you destroy each other. All right? But here I saw another drush I never saw before. It says, we're going to be in trouble with this. Isha, Aleph Shin Hay, right? Ish, Aleph Yud Shin. Okay? So add up for me, which is more in gematria, in the numerics, right? The number of each, which according to Jewish tradition sometimes is significant. So which is more? Which is more? Man or woman in the numbers. Think of it again. Aleph, Yud, Shin. Aleph, Hey, Shin. The Yud and the Hey, right? The Yud is 10. The Hey is
5.
So the man has 5 more in terms of numbers, right? He's valued by 5 over the woman. Ish is 5 more than Isha.
All these were important.
Wait a minute. Okay, now. So it says, the Chidah says, the Kadumim, the earlier sages said that a woman is less than a man by 5. So if she serves her husband, and she recognizes that she is deficient from her husband, she is deficient, then if she sees she's lower than him, then their match, however, will go up properly. Then their you know, shidduch will be properly presented, right, in their life. Ach imhi tisbor shemalata kamo ish. But if she thinks I'm on the same level as my husband, think I should skip this one. If she thinks I'm on the same, yeah, she thinks she's on the same level as her husband. Az ein zivugam ola yafe. Then it will not go well. And this is what it means to say. That's, listen, King Solomon said, motziani mar mimavet eta isha. He says, listen to this. I find more bitter than death Ha'isha. Isha plus the extra hay, who thinks that she has an extra 5. Ha'isha. Okay, so that she's equal to her husband. Oh, she thinks she's equal to an ish. Oh, that's bitter. That's the more bitterness of death. That's beyond death. If she thinks she knows her place, okay. But if she thinks I'm equal to my husband, so then that is more bitter than death. Let me just comment on this, however, that I remember seeing a view, I think it was the Chatham Sofer himself, who said the following. Okay? He said the following. When it says in the Torah, when God said it's not good for a man to be alone, right after he created Adam, he said he would make an Ezer Kenegdo, literally a helper against him. Ezer Kenegdo. And everyone asks, what do you mean an Ezer, a helper against him? If it's against him, it's not a helper. She's supposed to assist. She's supposed to assist, not be against him. And Rashi says there, if he merits it, she will help him. And if he doesn't, she will be against him. Okay, yeah, it's not just a given. You have to work on this marriage to see which way it's going to go. All right. However, the Chatham Sofer, I think, is the one who says that when is she an Ezer? When is a woman a help to a man? When she is kenegdo, when she is against him, when she is the opposite of him, okay? Yes. When she challenges him. Right. She's not supposed to be a yes man, where, you know, the husband doesn't mean, yes, dear, very nice, dear, yes, dear. No, just the opposite. She's supposed to challenge him when he does something. Why'd you do that? When he does something, you should be better than that. She should try to elevate him. She should challenge him. So she is supposed to be something against him to kind of fill in what's lacking. You know, not everyone is whole. The idea that they're two halves coming together, he's not complete on his own, and she's supposed to bring the things to the marriage that he's lacking, okay, and then fulfill the whole total picture. I want to add one more thing, by the way, that when he's saying this, the Chidah, doesn't mean to say necessarily that this is what the man should think. He says, a woman should understand that I'm here, okay, to help my husband. I should look up to him, kind of. He's greater than me. It doesn't say the man should be thinking, you're less than me. No, we're just saying from the woman's perspective. For example, the Rambam says that... The Rambam does say that. That's what I want to point out. The Rambam says that a husband should see his wife as a queen and do whatever he can to serve her. And the wife should see her husband as a king and do whatever she can to serve him. So that's exactly how it is supposed to be. Okay? So no matter, even if this is the idea that the woman should see herself like, I'm here to serve him, and he should see himself like, I'm here to serve her, doesn't mean you should see the other person that way. Okay? That person's there to serve me. You're supposed to think it yourself. Doesn't mean you're supposed to, you know, impose that upon the other person. You hear what I'm saying? It's very, very important. Just parents and children, right? Parents and children. Okay, so children have to respect their parents, right? But it doesn't mean parents should be overbearing. So let's say a Rebbe and a Talmud. A Rebbe and the student, right? The teacher and the student. So the things that a teacher, just like a child to a parent, you're supposed to stand up when the parent or the teacher walks in the room. You're supposed to not talk back to them. You're not supposed to argue with them. You're not supposed to sit in their seat. It doesn't mean like you don't walk in there and say to your kid, stand up when I walk in the room. I mean, you're supposed to teach them, you're supposed to do it, but you're not supposed to be overbearing on them. In fact, the halacha is that you're allowed to say to them, you don't have to stand up, it's okay. Even though the halacha is supposed to, or even though the halacha is that, let's say, a student's supposed to stand up for his teacher, it doesn't mean the teacher goes, you know, how come you just stand up for me, huh? You know, so again, even though this is the halacha, it doesn't mean that you are supposed to become arrogant about it and see it in terms of imposing it upon the other person. And the same thing with the relationship between one's husband and wife.